Father God, we pray right now. We ask you, Lord, as we have just been lingering, it's almost like a storm that has stalled over some place. We've got this portion of scripture in front of us, and I don't know if it's me or if it's the Holy Spirit, but Lord, I just can't seem to move past it. I don't know if I'm dragging my heels because it's the last chapter of the book of Hebrews. I don't know, but Lord, we do know this, that your truth is to us more precious than gold. Gold can't keep us alive. We can't eat gold, but we can eat your word, and it will keep us alive both now and forever. And so, Lord, we pray that as we dive into this section, Lord, it's to me so thrilling. I pray that you'd give us all the ability both to deliver this message and to take the message in, because it's just Bible, and that's all we need. And in a day and an age when there's so many people claiming to be Christians but not believing and obeying the word of God, seems to me, Lord, you are shaking things. You're shaking even what is under the branches or the bough of the church. And what is false is falling out, and what is true is hanging firm. And we ask you, Lord, in all of our lives that we would be true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we'd not be swayed by public opinion or by rhetoric or by what's trending. How silly people have become to be more influenced by an influencer than influenced by the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us. We need you dearly. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Church, it's going to be a repeat of last week in the sense of you standing, getting the chance to read one verse, and down you go again. So let's stand. We need the exercise anyway. And we're in Hebrews 13, remember, verses 7 through 9. And we just got into it last week, and I don't know how it happened, but we suddenly ran out of time. And so you guys have verse 8 to read in our scripture reading. I'll do verse 7, and I'll do verse 9. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct.
Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which are not of profit, or does not profit those who have been occupied with them. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated, church. Next time we'll get into verse 9, but today we've got to hit on verse 8. We did do verse 7 in our previous time together, but we're looking at this series in this section of scripture, as you well know, titled In the End. And it's not only in the end of the book, but it's the end, obviously, as the author brings this book to a conclusion. He's been writing, he's been speaking, he's been exhorting, instructing, rebuking, challenging. Those who are of Judaism, which is really in many ways man-made laws and rules and regulations stapled onto what should be a personal relationship with Messiah, these were Jews who came to faith in Christ, but some of them were considering or thinking maybe they should go back to their practices and to all the liturgical things that they employed themselves to. All of the various rule-keeping. You see, why would somebody do that? I'll tell you in a second. Rule-keeping. Setting this up and doing this thing and then moving over to the next thing and the other. When such things are, if at best, images or types that speak to us about a deeper truth. For example, you know this. When God gave Moses the blueprints to the tabernacle, most specifically, you look at the layout of the Holy of Holies, because that's what you're really interested about anyway. It's not just all the trappings of the outside and the outer tabernacle with the beaver skins and the animal fixtures, the metal, and all of the ornaments of what made that tabernacle in the wilderness so amazing. But the most important thing was getting into the Holy of Holies for the high priest. And what do we know about it? The Bible tells us that all of those things that Moses went through, and then later on when Solomon built the temple, they had the Ark of the Covenant in there. And, you know, humans, we make a big deal of all this. And don't get me wrong, that was a big deal. But do you remember all along the way, from the moment of Mount Sinai, God had told Moses, Moses, write this stuff down and then go down and build it. It's all a picture of what's in heaven. Remember that, everybody? God told Moses that. It wasn't the real deal. It was a copy of the real deal. And then the real deal actually comes into our lives and sets up the tabernacle, as it were, in our lives. That's what makes us real believers. That's why there is no Jew or Gentile, male, female, free or bond in Christ, but we're all one. How does that happen? Because it doesn't matter where you are in the world at any given time. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, the throne room of God resides in your very being. You've been born again. That's what that means. And the Spirit of God now lives in you. And so all along the way, for these 13 chapters, he's been leading those who were very familiar with the Levitical system, and they had now departed from that to follow Jesus. And it appears in the writings of this book that some were beginning to waver. And so he's saying things like, there's a greater tabernacle than that which is on earth. It's in heaven. He tells them, it's not the blood of an animal. It's the blood of God himself, Christ at the cross. And then, of course, it's not about any earthly priest. It's about the great high priest who ascended into heaven and presented his blood on the altar. Thank God, right? The altar which is before the Lord in heaven. Think about that. That's where Jesus offered his blood, the Lamb of God. And I'm so grateful, you guys, and so are you, because if it was one that was done here on earth, then what would have happened in 70 AD when the temple came down? What would have happened to the assurance of your salvation? Aren't you glad that the treasure, the very treasure that is above all treasures, is your salvation? Where is it laid up in? Heaven, where moth nor rust nor thief can break in and steal, and it cannot decay. Isn't that great news? Your salvation is that secure because Christ himself presented his own blood on the altar of God to assure you of eternal life. I love it. And so, church, in verse 8, we broke this open and didn't get far, but remember this. We looked at the end, as the title goes, and we looked at the hope that will have sustained us, the hope that we have in Christ. That was the point. And we looked at this glorious verse. You guys read it a moment ago, where it says in verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. Remember that? Last time we were together, I know it's been a little while, but we stopped right there, that Jesus is the same yesterday. And we wrote this down in our notes. Maybe you have it. If not, write it down again on your notes, your notepaper. But it's how hope did, that is in the past, sustain them. How did that happen? We talked about the saints of old, the Old Testament believers. The point was this, that Jesus Christ is the same, unchanging. And remember, we introduced to you a word, or introduced to some of you a word, immutable. Jesus Christ is immutable. It means that it is impossible for Jesus Christ to change the nature of who he is. By the way, that's true of the Godhead. And we studied this, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. We talked about how his salvation and his authority as our Lord and Savior not only speaks of the fact that he is forever in history past, in eternity past, God, but that he's also the one who deals with your past life, which we're very grateful about. I love the fact that my Bible tells me that God does not remember my past. That's what he says. He says, I'm not going to remember your past. I should have qualified that. Oh, he remembers your past, all right, if you're not a Christian. You need to come to him in repentance of sin and put your faith in him and receive his free gift of eternal life. And then he tells you, I will remove your sin from you as far as the east is from the west. I will remove it from you. And I will take your sins and I will cast them into the depths of the sea. And J. Vernon McGee says, and he sets up a no fishing sign. And I like that. There's no fishing over that spot. God is simply trying to communicate to us in our way of thinking, I'm not going to remember your sins, your past. All I'm going to do is think about you in light of my son Jesus. Amen, for sure. All right, we pick it up. Here we go. The second argument is this. How hope does, that is now, sustain us. Jesus Christ, the scriptures would say to us, is the same today. Today. The same Jesus that was then, and this is a setup, the same Jesus that was then is the same Jesus that is today. But remember what the Jesus then was or is. When I say then, you should ask then when. When then? Well, how far back do you want to go about the when? Because Jesus being eternal, he's never changed. He was the same when Adam and Eve were brought out of the earth. So when you think about the past, and then what about now? He's the same. I was on a radio interview today, and I was somebody asked me this question. The church is divided in America today because there's people in the church that say this, and there's people in the church that say the other about what's going on in our world around us, and how dare we be dropping this bunker-busting bomb. By the way, nobody died. Did you know that? The Iranians were nice enough yesterday to report, thank you very much, you blew everything up, but nobody died. Well, that's nice. I didn't even know about this. I'm in this interview today, and what do you think about this, Pastor? A bunch of people saying this and a bunch of people saying the other thing. And I had to make this comment because the reporter was saying the church is divided. They're saying that that's the God of the Old Testament who goes to war. The God of the New Testament does not go to war. And I said, well, first of all, nobody wants to go to war. You got to be nuts if you want to go to war. But to say that there's a God of the Old Testament and a God of the New, because what, the narrative and the history is different? You don't understand that God, of his own declaration, says that I move in these dispensations. There was a time of the Old Testament when I spoke and I moved through Moses and to the children of Israel, and then I brought judges. That was another dispensation. And then I brought prophets, and then I brought kings. And God moves in these, call them chapters. He chooses to do that. And right now, you and I are living in what's known as the age of grace, or otherwise known as the church age. We are not Old Testament saints, and we're not tribulation saints. We're the church. It's different. And when the church is out of here, God's going to refocus on the nation of Israel in the seven-year tribulation period, and the 144,000 Jews. You've read Revelation, haven't you? Somebody say yes to that. You better have read the book of Revelation. You want to be blessed? Read it on a regular basis. It says, God says, I'll bless anyone who reads this book. So read it. But there's an age where Israel will be the evangelist. And John said a number of Gentiles are going to get saved that no man could count them all during the seven-year tribulation period of time. That's awesome. But I didn't know this was a big argument. And so I was being asked these questions. And I said, listen, there is no difference between the God of the old and the God of the new. He's the same one. And if you have any doubts about that, read the book of Revelation when Jesus comes back. That'll straighten your tie out real quick. His face is a flame of fire. He rides on a white horse. He's coming back to strike the earth with the word of his mouth. Wow. He's the same. He's the same. And so Jesus Christ is the same today. And the word today is a really great word to know in the Greek language. It means this. You can look at the screen. It means in the night, which is interesting today. But when did today start? It's actually so accurate. It's the Bible. Hello. When did today start? Did it start in the dark? It started in the dark. It started at the stroke of midnight, so to speak, right? As in the beginning, in the early morning hours, a day, this day, the very day, that means in the now of the moment during any given day. That's what the Bible says. He's the same. I love this. He's the same yesterday. That's all of it for all eternity. He's the same today to the very moment. He's the same. He's still the same God who approaches you. He's the same God that reaches out to you and says, I'll take all of your burdens, give them to me. He's the same God that says, you ought not to be doing that. You should repent of that. He's the same God that says, I have loved you. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you to me. He's the same God. I love it. The Bible says, Jesus says in John 14, verse 6, that Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Put yourself in their sandals. That's deep. That's deep talk. I mean, they're like, that's heavy. Philip, he's so honest. Philip says to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Okay, we didn't understand a word you just said a second ago. It sounded awesome, but we don't get it. We'll make it real simple, Jesus. Can you just show us the Father, and it'll be good. Listen to Jesus' answer. Jesus says, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not known me? Have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? You say, well, is Jesus the Father? No. But when you see the Father, or you see the Son, or if this were possible, see the Holy Spirit, exactly the same. They think the same. They act the same, and yet they are uniquely individual. One God comprised of three personalities, three entities, yet one God, the triunity of God. All of the attributes that are attributed to God the Father are attributed to God the Son and the Holy Spirit. Did you know that when Ananias and Sapphira lied in the book of Acts chapter 5, I think it's chapter 5, the Bible tells us that when Peter found out, he said, what are you doing? Concocting this lie in your heart and then living it out. Do you not know that you have lied to the Spirit of God? You didn't lie to men. You have lied to God. And yet he says, you lied to the Holy Spirit. Well, because the Holy Spirit is God. And there in John 14, Jesus is saying, Philip, when you hear me speak, when you see me do, I am doing everything and saying everything that the Father says and does. That's why when you see me, Philip, you've seen the Father. I just love that kind of talk. So beautiful. And then also we learn this in verse 8, and that is how hope will sustain those. Now, when I say hope will sustain those, I mean us as well. Because if we were to move on from today, and by God's grace we will, tomorrow's another day. Jesus is the same yesterday. He's the same today. And some have said that it means more than just today. It means our era of time. It doesn't matter. You know why it doesn't matter? Are you guys with me? It doesn't matter because he doesn't change. And in this part, at the latter end of verse 8, he's the same forever. Man. That's not like a long string from that end of the sanctuary to that end of the sanctuary. It doesn't look that long from here, but if you go over there and try to throw a baseball over to there, it's not easy. How do we know? Because before they put the roof on the building, that's what we were doing. We did. The pastors were all in one corner throwing baseballs to see who could throw it the furthest to the other side. It's very deceiving. It doesn't look so big in here. But think about it. If you snap the string from that corner to that corner, and we think, oh, wow, that's a long way. We're guilty of thinking about God like that. Oh, God's got a lot of time. Not really. He's eternal. He's outside of time. We're looking at the string. Whoa, that's so far. He's above, he's over the roof, looking down, saying, what string? It looks like this to me. It's nothing. Amazing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And here's this wonderful word, forever. The Greek word is very, in fact, I have to warn you right up front. The word forever is a word that English, French, Russian, Hebrew, Greek, human words fail. Eon, you've heard of this. Not entirely understood or comprehended, eternal, eternity upon eternity, unceasing courses, never ending, forevermore, timelessness, worlds without end. It's the best that human languages can do with the word, eons. And I think if I remember right, it's aeonios post aeonios, eons, epochs of time, stacked upon epochs of time, forever. But even that analogy is not actually legal, because when you talk about long time, time, those words fail. It blows our minds that God is eternal forever. And I hope tonight, by the way, get ready to write. I worked hard. I want you to write this down. I really need you. In fact, you ever heard those people who say, the Lord told me to tell you? Don't fall for that, but I would love to be able to say tonight, the Lord told me to tell you, there's going to be a test on this message tonight when you enter heaven, but he didn't tell me that, so. So how forever is Jesus Christ? Let's prove it, right? Maybe you're a skeptic in the house and you're saying, I don't believe that. I think that little baby was born in Bethlehem and you guys made him into some big, big show. No, that's where he got his skin. Was in Bethlehem. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. God says, Old Testament, for I am the Lord, I do not change. He's forever. Numbers 23, 19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? That's why you can take what God has promised you in the Word of God to the bank. Isaiah 46, verse 9, starting there. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. And we want to say, what makes you unique, Lord? Verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Verse 11. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Love it. Ezekiel 24, verse 14. I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass. I will do it. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Psalm 33, 11. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Wow. Psalm 41, 13, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, amen and amen. By the way, for some people who are struggling with the current existence of the nation of Israel, chew on this one for a while. The verse I just read to you, he says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. That was said 3,000 years ago by the psalmist, but it's even better. From everlasting to everlasting, amen is let it be true, let it be true. What does that mean? It means whoever is from everlasting to everlasting will be the Lord God over Israel. End of story. That should end the debate. But some people have a hard time John Adams said, facts are stubborn things. And some people have a hard time with that. Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. A watch is, I think, 3 hours long. That's your watch. God's outside of time. John 17, verse 5, in the high priestly prayer of Christ. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. The eternal Son of God. Oh, listen, hang on. If you think that's wonderful, just wait. 2 Timothy 1, 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Wow. Before there was ever physical time. Time's a physical entity. Outside of a physical world, there's no time. Time is a physical property. It's amazing to think about it that way, but it is. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. We love this at Christmas time, don't we? But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, that is villages, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Wow. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. That is Father of time or Father of eternity. Prince of Peace. John chapter 1, verse 1. You guys okay? You writing them down? Or taking pictures of them? Something? Scan the notes and you can have them. In the beginning was the Word, Logos. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Think of that for a while. John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt, tabernacled, lived among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the logos of life. Man, I wish we had a few days to talk about just the word logo. The logos is amazing. John chapter 8, verse 58. Jesus said to them, that's with the scribes and Pharisees, I say to you, or most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Hey, scribes and Pharisees, you guys who don't believe in me, before Abraham ever existed, I existed. That's what Jesus told them about himself. That's when their yarmulkes began to... Now, right about now, you'd say, this Jesus is crazy. He's a lunatic. A lot of people believed that at the time. But then Sunday morning happened, and everything that he said turned out to be true. You got to admit, when somebody says, if you die believing in me, you'll live forever. Come on, that's pretty crazy. Unless you are the one who gives eternal life. If you're the creator of all life and you did it all, that's pretty amazing. Where was I? Anybody remember? I don't know. Hang on. I'm going to start using my Sharpie. I did that one. This one, that one, and that one. this one, that one, and that one. 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that is made known to mankind, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Say amen to that. Yes, yes, and amen to that. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, this is God speaking. This is God speaking, and God says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. This is the Father speaking about the Son. You want more, you want a bonus verse, you can read Psalm chapter 2 on that one. Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's Jesus Christ. Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Wow. John 1, 18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Colossians 1, 17. And he is before all things, speaking of Jesus, and in him all things consist. John 5, 25. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. That is, he is the prototype of mankind, Jesus. Wow. John 15, verse 26. This is a Trinitarian verse. You'll see why in a moment. But when the Helper comes, you remember who he is? The Holy Spirit, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, whom proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Did you get that, anybody? Everybody? The Father, the Spirit, me, Jesus said. Wow. Galatians 4, 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, that would be Mary, born under the law, that would be the Jewish law. We're talking about the immutability of Jesus Christ. I'm going to, that was warm up. Here's how unchanging he is. And I will, I'll help you along with this. Again, if you write this down, you'll be all the better for it. Isaiah 48, 12. We'll start right there. Isaiah 48, 12. There are people who knock on your door. It doesn't matter what flavor of cult member they are. They're just cult members of various cults. They absolutely disagree with each other, and we disagree with all of them. But there's one thing that they all agree on, and we absolutely do not agree with them on, but they all agree on this one. What is it? That Jesus Christ cannot be the Son of God. That Jesus Christ cannot be deity. All the cults believe this. You say, well, wait. The Mormons believe Jesus is deity. Yes, but on their level of deity, anybody can be that level of deity. In Mormonism, you can be good enough to reach the deity of Jesus himself. So that's not much deity. But isn't it interesting that all of the cults agree Jesus cannot be who he says he is? And yet that's the great dividing point for us, isn't it? He's exactly who he says he is. So it starts with Isaiah 48, 12. Are you guys okay? Did I abuse you? You guys all right? Many of you are sleeping. Don't say amen too loud, because some people are catching up on their sleep tonight. Apparently this is the kind of preaching that kills people, by putting them to sleep. Isaiah 48, 12 says, listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called, I am he. I am the first, and I am also the last. Sounds like a New Testament verse, doesn't it? How many first and last can you have? Seems, well, we'll find out. We'll see. Isaiah 44, verse 6, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and besides me there's no God. Amen. Is that true? There's only one God. Whoever he is, he's the first and the last. Would you agree with me on that? I agree. Okay, yeah. Isaiah 41:4, who has performed and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, am the first, and I am with the last, I am he. Wow. So whoever the first and the last is, he's the Lord, and he's God, and there's none like him. Isaiah 43, verse 10 says, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I've chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. It doesn't mean that God comes to an end. He's making a point. I am there, and I am there in your understanding. Revelation 1, verse 8. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. Boom. Wow. Revelation 4, verse 8. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, holy, holy. Three times. Interesting. Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come. Now, wait a minute. Jesus just attributed that to him in Revelation 1:8. I thought there's only one God. There is only one God. He's the Lord. He's the Alpha and the Omega, whoever he is. I'm being sarcastic right now, right? He's the one who was, who is to come. You can only have one. Revelation 1:11, chapter 1, verse 11. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. That sounds like it's right out of Isaiah. Revelation 21, verse 6. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Revelation 22, 13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That's just extra mic drop right there. Wow. Is this coming together for some of you? Are you getting this? It's like, this is the Jesus? This is my Jesus? That's your Jesus. This is your Jesus. He's the forever Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Revelation 1:17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet, John said, as dead. John, like, passed out. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. In verse 18, the next verse, he says, I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Wait a minute. How would the first and the last, and look, if we're in a freshman college class of logic, we have a first and the last. He's the same as the Alpha and the Omega. He's the same as the beginning and the end. He's the same as the Lord God Almighty. He is the same. How did he die? Is that even possible? How could this God die? Why would he die? How does an eternal God die? Come on, how can an eternal God die? He can't, unless he takes on humanity. Why would he do that? Because you and I die. He came into this world to live perfectly because you can't and I can't. And then after living perfectly, he dies on the cross for our sins. He didn't die for his own sins. He had none. And because he was perfect, the grave couldn't hold him because he's perfect. And on resurrection morning, the tomb is empty. Why? Because, think about it, because death and hell, can you imagine even Satan looking around his body and looking for some sort of ability to inject death into him, so to speak. But listen, the Bible tells us there was no death until sin entered the world. But listen, sinlessness entered the world 2,000 years ago, and death had nothing on him. Amen. But his body died. Yes, of course, his body died. Jesus was crucified. His body died. When his body died, His body died. He did not die. I got news for you. Newsflash, when you die, you don't die. Your body dies. That ought to scare some of you to death tonight. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a Christian and you die tonight, you'll be very awake somewhere. Your body, we'll have to deal with your body. But you'll be gone, and you'll be very awake. Yikes. Become a Christian right now. You got 10 minutes. I'm giving you 10 minutes. That's 10 minutes too long. You should do it now. You could drop dead in your seat right now. You don't know. Your heart could stop beating right now. I'd repent now real quick. God, help me. I'm a sinner. Jesus, save me from my sins. I know you died on the cross for me. I'm a wretch. You know all my thoughts. You know all my deeds. Forgive me, Lord. You are the risen God. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the first and the last. You're the one who lives. You died and you're alive. No, I put my trust in you. Of course I do. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. And to the angel of the church at Smyrna write these things, says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. Is that your Jesus? That's my Jesus. Wow. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true. In his Son Jesus, this is the true God and eternal life. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. That's Jesus. Psalm 22, verse 16. They pierced my hands and my feet. Sound familiar? Zechariah 13:6. And one will say to him, what are these? This is in the second coming. One will say to him, what are these wounds between your arms? Technically, it's your hands, your arms. Here. Then he will answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. If you go look at Zechariah 13, it's the coming of Israel's Messiah in the second coming after the tribulation period. And they're going to look up and they're going to ask him, where'd you get all these? Isn't that a wild thing that everything in heaven is made by God, but there's only one thing man made in heaven, and that's the scars that's on Jesus' body when he returns. We did that. Our sins did that to him. John 8:58, Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. I think I read that one before. John 8:24, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Wow. Titus 2, verse 10, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Okay, now we got a new one. Who's the Savior? We got to add Savior to the list of all these other great names and attributes. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. What's his name?
Jesus Christ.
John 10:32. Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. They understood what he was saying. Hosea 13, verse 4. Yet I am the Lord your God ever since the land of Egypt, and you shall know no God but me, for there is no Savior besides me. Oh my goodness. Jude 1:24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior who alone is wise. Do you see the correlation, folks? Please, everybody. You guys okay? We're almost done. Wait, is that true? Isaiah 45:22. Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Isaiah 43:11. I am the Lord. Besides me, there is no Savior. Psalm 68:4. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. By his name, Yah. Or that's his name, actually. Yah is God, God saves. Yahweh. Yehovah. Yeshua. That's Jesus. That's the root of Jesus' name. Jesus. And rejoice before him. Proverbs. You guys know this is my favorite. My favorite of all time. Proverbs 30:4. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if you know? Wow. I thought you guys would have been just stark raving crazy by this time, by now. Ephesians 4:9. Now this he ascended. What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? Who has descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another. Psalm 2:11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, S-O-N, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means in Hebrew, God among us. Luke 1:30. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Highest. Philippians 2:10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Acts 4:12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Yeah. Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, and that visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. John 4:42. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him. That's the Samaritans regarding the woman at the well. So they heard Jesus for themselves. And we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. 1 John 4:14. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son as Savior of the world. Hebrews 1:8. But to the Son he says, Daniel 7:13. I was watching, Daniel says, and in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came in the clouds of heaven, and he came to the Ancient of Days, that would be the Father. And they brought him near before him, and then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. 2 Peter 1:11, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You guys have two more minutes in you? You guys okay? I got two. Hang on. I don't have 2 minutes in me. Matthew 1:1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." Matthew 20, verse 30. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they had heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, son of David." Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet, but they cried out all the more. I love these guys. Saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, son of David. You're almost there, everybody. I'm proud of you. Revelation 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church at Philadelphia write, "These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens." Revelation 5, verse 5. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seals." That's exactly what Jesus was doing. And then finally, Revelation 22, verse 16. "I, Jesus, I have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star." Wow. Let's stand. Let's stand. Oh, my. I don't know if we should stand or we should fall on our face. We're going to see him, friends. We're going to meet him. Every single one of you who can hear my voice right now, this is a truth. This is a truth that is absolutely, stunningly, gloriously beautiful, and yet it is the exact same truth that is absolutely horrifying and terrifying, and it is this. Everyone who can hear me right now will one day see Jesus. You will see him. The issue tonight is on what terms will you meet him? Think of it. Think of all the atheists of history who are now profound believers too late. Did you know in eternity everybody's theology is correct? But the Bible tells us that we are to make that decision regarding who Jesus is on this side of life, on this side of the grave. There is no purgatory, friends. It's not in the Bible. There's no second chance. There's no reincarnation. That's a cult. The Bible teaches resurrection. Resurrection of the dead unto eternal damnation. Resurrection of the forgiven unto eternal life. Where will you be? What do you choose? Church, tonight, and if you're so inclined, friend, where you believe that during this 60 minutes together, God has filleted your heart open, and you now see why you need Jesus, we're going to pray as a church family just because it's right for us to do so. If you believe that now's the time for you to enter into this relationship with the Almighty God, then join in with us. But church family, I'm going to ask you to repeat this very familiar prayer. But it's just in light of the reverence of these verses, the power and the gravity of these verses. Will you repeat this after me? Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. Acknowledging you as our Father. We call upon the Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and Savior of the world. Save us, Almighty God. Write our names in your book of life. Jesus, we call upon you. And we ask you, O Lord, to write our names in the Lamb's book of life. Holy Spirit, fill us afresh. Come and possess us. We yield our lives to you completely. Lord God, live out your life in my life. For tonight, we thank you for dying on the cross and being resurrected from the dead, that we might live with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.